Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
Football Friday includes Sal Capaccio, who's going to join us right now on the Westar Hotline. You got any questions, comments, opinions? 803-0550 to join us. Sal's segment brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday to you guys as well.
We will get to Bills Ravens because we got a lot of ground to cover. Because we spent the first hour also talking about Tua and what happened last night, and of course what we thought happened Sunday, but apparently didn't happen Sunday. You want to, you know, you deal with these guys on a pretty regular basis, and you've dealt with players who've gone through head injuries and concussions. Any thoughts on what you saw last night and what might come from all of this?
A lot of thoughts on it. It's You know, I think what I'll start with is, just like everybody else, I was stunned that he went back in the game last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm on the sidelines, and I saw him sitting there before he stumbled, reach up for his helmet, and almost take his helmet off and shake his head as if he was knocking cobwebs out, so to speak. And then he stood up, never took the helmet off.
Right.
And then he stumbled and fell down. And everybody near me at that time looked at each other like, oh my God, that's horrible. So you kind of realized right there, you know, something's going on concussion-wise. That's the first thing you think of. We've seen this before. Leaves the field. The team, let's remember this, announced on Sunday he is being evaluated for a head injury.
Mm-hmm.
That came officially from the team. So when he went back in the game in the second half, I was stunned. I was worried. I thought that was, I've never seen something like that. I couldn't believe it. Okay, the game's over, obviously. Him having the even questionable designation for last night's game going into the game was kind of concerning and alarming that he might play. On top of that, and I don't even know if it was listed as head on the questionable designation. If I go back, I think there was other things going on.
Yeah, I thought
it was back.
Yeah.
That's right. It was back because that's what they announced was the injury. And, of course, I watched last night, and it was frightening. It was horrible. It's one of the worst things you could ever see in any capacity, let alone on a competitive field or surface or anything like that. My heart was just breaking for Tua, a human being. I don't care who you root for. I don't care what you do. None of us want to see it. But I'll tell you, there's a obviously large discussion about who's responsible for this and what the protocol was and if they followed it. And 4 days later, and you guys have been covering it well. So aside from that, because I don't want to diminish that, I will tell you, last night to me was a horrible, horrible night for the game of football.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not just talking about the league. It was an awful night for the league. A prime time for this situation, for this talking point to happen. That was a horrible night for the NFL. But I'm talking about the game. I am an advocate for football, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
I love this game. I go and I'm an advocate for young people playing the game. And I go to banquets, whether it's Connolly Cup or Trench Trophy or Boosters Clubs, and one of the things I talk about all the time is being an advocate for this game because we don't have enough advocates. There are so many people who want to tear down football and tell you how horrible it is, and I'm here telling you how great it is because I love it, and I think it's great, and I think the lessons you can learn from playing football are like no other lessons in any other sport. This is, to me, this is the sport to play that helps you become, you know, a better person and character and build you up and things like that. We all understand there are a lot of inherent risks, but people like me, I will tell you, and a lot of people I know, we understand those. These, there are risks, and we're going to do everything we can to help make it safer, not ignore it, embrace it, and say, here's what we can do to make it safer. Let's learn about this. Let's learn the data. Let's learn the science. Let's embrace this and make this better. I want people to enjoy the game. My son doesn't play yet. He's 8. If he wants to play tackle football, he can play. I always tell him that. If you want to play, that's great, because I'm going to make sure that it's going to be in a safe environment with safe people. I think that's what we're questioning. That's what pisses me off, quite frankly, about this.
Sal, what you're getting to, I think, is the NFL needs to be a guardian of the game.
Yes.
And whether that's...
It shouldn't take people like me at the kid level to do it. These guys should be doing it first and foremost.
That's right. The NFL needs to protect the game, and the best way to protect the game is to protect the players. And what last night reveals, if nothing else, I mean, we could all talk about how Miami was negligent, and if all the investigations come back and everything was followed to the letter of the law, then the answer might obviously be, looks like it's time to change the letter of the laws.
That's right. I agree with you, Jeremy. What makes me mad is the people at the highest of levels with the highest of degrees and the highest of data and information and everything that goes into it screwed this up. And because of that, this young man, his career could be in jeopardy for all we know. You know, We have done a great job. I really think we've done a great job of teaching high school and Pop Warner and Pee Wee coaches and college coaches a lot of these things that I'm talking about to be better at this, to say, what are our steps? How can we mitigate? How can we minimize having some of these injuries that we've known have gone on through football throughout the years? I think we've done an amazing job of it, and I'm embracing it. Again, it's not ignoring. It's not saying, oh, go tell mom and dad that you can play because football's safe. No, no, no. It's saying, hey, let's talk with mom and dad about what the risks are and how we prevent these things from happening, or at least help ourselves in these situations. And last night, over the last 4 days before last night, the people who should know the best didn't do that. That's what makes me mad.
Yeah, it's story around the league, obviously. Players' reactions will be interesting because anytime a player gets put in harm's way, whether, you know, Sal, the NFLPA with their investigation, this will get players talking. This will be the kind of thing that gets players talking about whether or not the league does enough to protect them, to care about them. And sometimes, and this is another layer on this, Sal, and you would know this, this is kind of, I think, also what you're getting at with, like, player education, protecting the player from himself. If Tua,
yes,
wants to go back in, lots of concussed players or injured players want to go back in. And this would be an opportunity, of course, to point out that the league needs to do better to protect players from from bad hits, but from themselves as well.
100%. And we know that, right? We know that even when it happened, I talked to people who said there's not many quarterbacks who wouldn't want to go back in the game. Like last week, Sunday, I'm talking about. There, you know, what if Tua said, oh, I'm okay, there's not many. But you're right. It's not his decision. It can't be his decision. There's got to be a process. And the process failed, whatever it was, whatever they did. I'm convinced of that. As much as Mike McDaniel wants to sit up there last night and tell us about the doctors and clearing and all of that, and there's other people saying that, there's enough people also that I trust to know and read and listen to say that there was a breakdown of this process. So for me, I hope he's okay. You know, he seems like an incredible person, but just his health in general. I hope he can play football sometime soon. I do. But more than anything, like a bigger picture for me, I'm just hurt. I'm hurt because I love football and I'm an advocate for the game. And last night was a really horrible day and night for people like me who love the game or an advocate for the game and want and even champion for young people to play it.
Sal, have you ever talked to any Bills players? I don't need you to name names if you have. Not on the record. Any chance you would have had just to talk to these guys if they feel that the league is properly protecting them, protocols, whatever, concussions, injuries. You know, the Bills, I know the Bills always talk a lot about They seem to be very much up on how to make sure their players are okay and rest days and the sports people and the performance and all. Do you ever talk to these guys and feel, ask them if they think the league is doing everything they can?
I've never had a conversation where any player told me on or off the record that they feel that they've been pressured to play or mm-hmm. that the league has put them in a bad spot or their team has. I've never had that. It's generally positive.
Yeah.
And I will go back to even Lorenzo Alexander, the NFLPA, by the way, who has talked extensively about a lot of the things they've done over the years and to help out and, you know, the protocols and stuff like that. But anytime I've ever had a conversation, it's really more positive, Howard, honestly, that mm-hmm. they feel that there are a lot of safety and guidelines. And in fact, I would say maybe they've gone the other way and said, like, yeah, like they do this and like they're going to play it safe with us and they're not going to put us out there, you know, and things like that. So maybe privately, if, you know, you talk to some people who've been in those situations, maybe they would say something different. But I've never had that conversation that's gone the other way.
Sal, let's do the Bills because we got to do a couple, take care of a little business with you. Injuries. The list is still kind of long for Buffalo. And actually, I guess we should start with Gabe Davis because he's going backwards at this point, it seems.
Yeah, he was downgraded from limited to a did not participate yesterday. That could mean a lot of things. It could mean a couple of things. It could mean that he had a setback on Wednesday to Thursday. And, you know, that's obviously not good. It could also mean that he did a lot of work on Wednesday and they wanted to lay off him a little bit on Thursday and they wanted to give him an extra day, you know, just to kind of, hey, you know, let's make sure you're good on Sunday. You did a lot of work. Let's not push it any more than we have to this week. So we don't know. We'll see today. We'll talk to Sean McDermott 10:30 or so on the Extra Point Show. We'll get an update on some of these guys. We'll see if anybody's been declared out for the game. It doesn't look good on the injury report when you go from limited to DNP, but we'll see, you know, where that status is.
Okay, before we go to other guys, let me ask you this. With him up in the air, we know Kumro's out. Is Shakir active? Could Isaiah Hodgins be active? What might happen at that position group?
So I think all those are options. I would think that Shakir would be the first man in, considering that, you know, he's on the roster. He's a guy that they kept on the team. He's just not getting a jersey on game day. Isaiah Hodgins, you could elevate him. You only get two elevations, so you have to look around the roster too, and you have to play the numbers game, right? Like, where else you need somebody mm-hmm. if that's the case? Do you need an extra guy at defensive back? That I think they could very well need somebody this week to elevate there. Maybe offensive line, like they did last week.
Yep.
So Hodgins is a possibility. Let's remember, Kumaro plays a lot of special teams. As we kind of know, excuse me, guys, as we kind of know, you know, Hodgins didn't make the team partly because he wasn't a big guy on special teams, right? He wasn't maybe good enough to be able to play or strong enough to be able to play or whatever you want to call it on special teams. So I don't know if they would go that route, but certainly it's an option. I would expect if they're down an extra receiver that Shakir would play. But, you know, last week Gabe Davis was banged up, and he still played. Shakir still did not play, obviously. Maybe, you know, if Kumaro wasn't playing that last week, he would have, but he got hurt during the game, so we'll see what will happen.
What's the state of the offensive line right now?
You know, believe it or not, like, I think it's better than people kind of perceive. They have a chance to have their starting five. You know, Ryan Bates went from that's two guys were upgraded yesterday, and both of them were offensive linemen. And one was Deion Dawkins, who missed because of an illness, but he was back in a limited capacity. And the other was Ryan Bates, who went from DNP to limited through the concussion protocol. Speaking of all the concussion mm-hmm. protocol stuff, he's going through those steps.
Yep.
So you have a chance to have your starting five. It's really your depth that's been a little bit tested, the Bills. So without Tommy Doyle, obviously that's a bit of a blow. You know, you don't want to see that. You know, he tore his ACL. The guy finished the game on a torn ACL, which is crazy, right? So I think the state of the offensive line could be a lot better than people might think because they might be able to have their starting five.
And then the last injury stop, what is the state of the secondary? The second part of that is it possible Xavier Rhodes could be ready? Could he be in shape to get some snaps on Sunday?
Yes, I think it's very possible. In fact, as I sit here today, I look at the numbers. I think he gets elevated for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is on the field and elevated. I think that as a guy who's been in the league as long as he has and just played last year, he's in shape. They wouldn't bring him in. They wouldn't sign him if they didn't feel he was. Like that he's in shape and ready to go. And he can seamlessly, I think, for the most part, fit into the defense. He's played for Leslie Frazier. It's a zone-based scheme. Like, he could probably do that. And as I pointed out yesterday, you weren't here, Howard, Matt Bove and I, we did a podcast this week, Always Game Day in Buffalo. We had this same discussion, and I said, man, it's possible he could even start, I guess. And Matt said, oh, I totally expect him to start.
All right.
So, I mean, like, I absolutely believe there's a possibility. I don't know. I mean, maybe they feel at the end of the day they want to give him another week. But it's very possible he gets elevated and starts and plays a lot.
So one of the biggest injuries going into this game might not be in the Bills' side. Might be the Ravens. Ronnie Stanley. He has had back-to-back practices and is really close to a return. So their Pro Bowl left tackle, you know, Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, the Bills have some pretty good weapons, obviously, in the pass rush game. If Ronnie Stanley is able to go for the Ravens, that could be a game-changing play. That's a big, big piece that they could be getting back.
Yeah, so I've been following this story pretty closely this week, and I'll tell you what's going on because it's kind of confusing with this. Like, he got hurt in 2020, and then he had surgery, and he came back for one game last year, and that was it. He played six games in 2020. Over since 2019 ended, guys, he has only played seven games total over the last two plus seasons. He told reporters yesterday he had something else going on besides the foot surgery. That said, there's been this big controversy in Baltimore about this because he's been practicing. They paid him a lot of money, and it seemed like every week. He didn't go on IR. He didn't go on PUP, nothing like that. He's there. He's practicing in a limited capacity. They think he's going to get ready, and all of a sudden, bam, he's not playing again. And John Harbaugh has been telling people, well, he's going to play when he feels he can play like Ronnie Stanley. Well, that's a really high bar to clear. That means you're not going to play until you think you could be an all-pro on the field, right? I mean, if that's it, until Ronnie Stanley's at his best. So it's caused a bit of a controversy in Baltimore with people saying, wait a minute, like, you don't have to be an all-pro level to be healthy enough to play, right, on an ankle. You could still be really good at it. Last week, he went through practices. He was limited. He did have, like, one day full, maybe. And then he was questionable and then declared out during the weekend. He said yesterday he could play this week. He said, you might see me out there. And John Harbaugh kind of reiterated the same thing, which is, yeah, it might be out there, but, you know, we'll see. One of the things he also said last week, though, or yesterday, was, you know, he also wants to make sure he's available for the season. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Now, if he doesn't go, his backup, Patrick Bakari, is also, he's out. He has an ankle injury. He's out. Their third string is the guy who actually played much last week, Daniel Felele. And he did okay. He gave up a couple sacks, actually, maybe at least one, maybe two. Dietrich Wise beat him. And he could be the guy playing left tackle. I mean, he's a monstrous guy. He's a rookie, basically. But that's an interesting spot. Now, the other part is, I'll say, if Ronnie Stanley does play, because remember, this guy, whoever it is going to go against Von Miller. So Von Miller will either go against this rookie or maybe he's going against Ronnie Stanley in his first game in 2 years,
right?
Essentially.
Before I let you go, let's have you, keys to the game. We call it improving the game plan. Your thoughts on what the Bills need to do to win Sunday. It is brought to you by Bathfitter. Improve your bath in one day. It just fits. Bathfitterbuffalo.com. And before you give us your keys, Sal, factor in the weather. I know Patrick Hammer is coming up from Channel 2 with you guys at 11:30. It's going to be wet, a little windy. So keys to the game, factoring in not monsoon, but not exactly pristine weather conditions Sunday.
No, but, you know, it starts and ends with Lamar usually, right? And it does here. I mean, this is a guy that the Bills have done a really good job on Lamar Jackson, holding him in check on the ground. He has 20 carries for 74 yards in his two starts against the Bills. That's a really nice job the Bills have done. That's less than 4 yards a carry. Now, the first game he played was his rookie year with Josh when they were down there and the Bills got blown out, right? And he did come in. He had some yards that game. But his only two starts, playoff game and regular season game, one of each, 20 carries, 74 yards. Bills have done a nice job. You have to keep doing that. The other one I'll say is you got to slow down or stop Mark Andrews. He is he is their passing game. Yes, they have Bateman and they have Duvernay, and they've made big plays. But, guys, take a look at the numbers. 22 catches for Mark Andrews leads the team. The next closest is 8 to both these receivers. Like, they throw to their tight end. They throw to their backs. They'll get their receivers involved in big plays. And what's crazy is they're a big play offense. They love to go vertical. So the way they do it is they'll just basically use Mark Andrews all over the field, and then they will strike you big play over the top with one of these other receivers. But you got to slow down Mark Andrews. That is who makes their passing game go. And right now, their passing game is great, and Lamar is playing at an MVP level.
Bring your galoshes.
Yeah, we're preparing. I've heard and read a lot. It's going to be wet, but we'll see.
Not monsoon, though. The latest is it might be a little rainy, but not like crazy stupid.
I mean, it reminds me of, is it going to be like Cincinnati a few years ago? Remember the game, you know, A.J. Green, Tre'Davious White, that game? Because that was horrible. I hated that because it was a steady rain all game.
I think that's what you're going to get. And Patrick will tell you more at 11:30, but he was saying light to moderate rain, but pretty steady through the game and, you know, like 10 to 20 mile an hour winds.
Yeah. All right. Well, can't we just get 60 degrees and sunny?
Hey, you had L.A. opening night.
Listen,
and then Miami.
And Miami.
Actually,
Miami
was brutally hot, obviously.
We're going to
next week. I think I'm already taking a peek at next week, and like the home game against the Steelers looks pretty good as of right now. Yeah. So I'm open.
I was going to say, Sal, if the Steelers game isn't perfect, we know that the weather is cursed because this entire week looks beautiful here.
Oh, good. Yes. Very good.
I know.
All right. Sean McDermott today with you boys, right?
Sean McDermott, and as you pointed out, Patrick Hammer as well.
Thank you, Mr. Capaccio.
You got it, guys.
Sal with us here on Football Friday, 803-0550 to join us on the Tua concussion, the league's handling of everything, and, of course, Bills Ravens. Jeremy's going to be on the road. You can come see him Tuesday, speaking of football, at Highmark Stadium from 5 to 7 p.m. for the At-Wall Eye Care event. It's their LASIK and LAGER event. Again, you can be there 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday. Get your LASIK questions answered. You can enjoy free giveaways by At-Wall as well. Space is limited, so you must pre-register, and you can do that by going to atwalleye.com.
When we get back, I want to tell you about a player last night that watching him made me think of a Bills player that should be used in a similar way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.